Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to Siempre Pa'lante. Pa'lante. Siempre Pa'lante.
Bienvenido, mi gente. Welcome to Siempre Pa'lante, Always Forward. I'm your host, Giraldo Luis Alvaré. Gracias for listening. In this episode, our guest experienced the true essence of familia as a child living in New York, New Jersey, and in the country of Suriname, located in South America. These humble beginnings cultivated a love for art he would embrace later in life. His paintings and murals are masterpieces featuring icons in music, culture, and sports, with most of them highlighting women. One thing you will notice is the majority of women are Black, Indigenous, Latina, and Asian. Each work of art is carefully crafted, making it a timeless classic. Please welcome artist, painter, and muralist, Albertus Joseph. Who is Albertus Joseph? Take us to the beginning.
I would have to start with my family unit, family of six, four children, mother and father. My father took us on a journey in our lives as children. He just believed in exposing us to everything. We went from East Elmhurst and Laurelton, Queens, to South Plainfield, New Jersey, and then back to Queens. So I'm basically from the concrete jungle, if you will. Have you ever seen a movie, Mosquito Coast? The dad gets tired of the rat race of civilization. He moves his kids to the rainforest. Well, that's what we did. We moved to the rainforest before the movie. We moved to Suriname, South America. My father, that's where he's from. Suriname is a northern country on the northern coast of the continent of South America, between the two Guyanas, right above Brazil, and those little rural little countries. 600,000 people, I think, is the population. I landed there in the 70s. And so here I am, a boy from New York, in the rainforest. Talk about culture shock, generation shock, societal differences. Like, I saw it all. I saw real poverty. I saw real pride. Like pride, not this fake bravado that we live with in today's political climates in this country, but real la raza, you know what I mean? Guts in other people. And so as a child, I'm being exposed to these things and it broadened my horizons. And I'll be forever grateful to my mother and father for having the courage and the tenacity and the guts and the wherewithal to want to teach their kids and have an experience in this life. They were so innovative, and we were never rich, but we were never poor. We went from rags to riches. But even when we were, you know, when we first made the move to South America, we were living with people and they got the grind on. They never gave up. So yeah, it started from there. And we used to do these weekend excursions into the rainforest. And he used to show us the country, and we weren't allowed to sleep in a car. We had to tell him. He would just ask us, hey, what road are you on? We had to know that. And I was six. He had to say, where's east, where's west? What time of day is it? And he would teach us about locations of the sun and the things you can eat in a rainforest. Really storybook, unreal, surreal kind of experience. And I did that for 4 years. So from 6 to 10, we literally landed in South America on my birthday, 1974. It was so impactful. I can almost recall everything that happened to me in those 4 years. And then I could play back and contrast them to things here. We came back, then the reverse happened. Then I'm like, oh, people are shallow. I'm not saying that they're not shallow in South America, but the people that my father made sure that we were surrounded by, I hate to use the term, people of quality. He had a friend that was an artist. My mom was an artist. His friend was a very famous artist in the country.
You mentioned a little bit about your parents. Where are your parents' origins from?
My mom's from Queens, East Elmhurst. Born and raised. Her father was Cuban American. Her mother was African American, Native American. Cherokee and Blackfoot. My father's from Suriname, born there. He had a crazy life, but his background is Dutch. So he spoke Dutch, looked like Saddam Hussein with white hair, but he sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I grew up with two accents and then living in different countries and the things that my parents exposed us to, like as learning things. I think what I'm getting at is the gravitas, the things that I remember was the lessons my father instilled in us. And that was to pay attention to your surroundings. And that's what led me to the ability to pay attention to things, watch people's mannerisms, pay attention to my environment, pay attention to the knowledge from smarter people. Cherry pick the things that I like and the things that I don't like, and then use them to formulate manners of discussion and to regurgitate my experiences and ponderance of my surroundings into words. In the appreciation of your ancestors and your elders, there's a lot to be learned. There's a lot of experiences that they have. Even your teachers, even if you don't like your teachers, I was telling my son the other day, he was talking about a teacher that he had that he didn't like. The lady adores him and she pushes him and pushes him. And I told him, I said, listen, you may not like her approach, but pay attention to the lesson. Pay attention to the pressure she's putting on you. She wants you to learn. She knows you. She's trying to help your brain expand. And you don't do that by being nice all the time or holding your hand. Sometimes it's the firm hand. She's trying to teach you to push your boundaries out, to move outside of the box and to expand your horizons by giving you more work.
The blessings and the lessons, you got to get uncomfortable to get comfortable. But don't get too comfortable. You learn when you're uncomfortable. You learn when you face that adversity. Did you know, sabías que, Viola Davis achieved a rare distinction during the 65th annual Grammy Awards pre-show, becoming the 18th person to join the EGOT Club, an acronym for those who have won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. She secured the feat with her first Grammy Award for the audiobook of her memoir, Finding Me, in the Best Audiobook, Narration, and Storytelling Recording category. It was also her first nomination. In 2015, Davis won the Emmy for Best Lead Actress in a Drama for her role in the ABC series, How to Get Away with Murder. In 2017, she won the Best Supporting Actress Oscar for Fences, the Denzel Washington directed film written by August Wilson based on Wilson's 1985 play, and she's won two Tony Awards for King Hedley II in 2001 and Fences in 2010. Felicidades, Viola, on this amazing achievement. PSA credit to Maya Salam, senior staff editor on the culture desk at the New York Times. Now back to the show. When was that first moment that art touched you in ways that you were like, this is it, I'm going to do this?
So what's crazy is, I'm in college, when I'm in engineering, the only thing that saved my ass was I took an art class at Shits and Giggles, I think my second semester. I was just like, yo, what am I doing? I'm an artist. It's the only A I got. That was the only reason why they kicked me out of school, you know? When I went to go see the dean, he was like, well, we're going to put you out. You got to get this up. You got to go up one full point or else we're putting you out. I went on academic probation in college, freshman year, second semester. So I go to visit my parents at the time they moved to Florida. I never forget, my father was watching a World Cup. I go visit them and I'm like a freshman in college. I still live in Jersey because I went to Rutgers University. I didn't know how to tell him because my father was a difficult man at times. He ruled with an iron fist, but now I'm an 18, 19-year-old kid or whatever. I had to tell him that I was changing my major. Moving away from being an engineer, which I aspired to be because of him, going towards what my mom did, the whole plane ride, I never forget. I got to tell him, you know? Not that he was paying for school, because I worked full-time and went to school full-time. They didn't pay for my school. They made just enough money that I didn't qualify anything and just enough money that they couldn't afford to send me anywhere, but I went anyway. I said, hey, Dad, I'm thinking about changing my major. I said, thinking about it. I already changed it. It's like, I think about changing my major. he didn't say anything. You know, he's just sitting there watching the game and no expression. And I was like, oh, here we go. And then he was like, yeah, just like that. Oh, yeah, you're changing your major, your school of engineering. Really? You're going to change your major? And he goes, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to be an artist. I want to do art. Did you say anything? Probably for 5 seconds, but it felt like a half an hour. Tensed up, then ready to jump out of the chair in case he threw something. My dad was that dude. Like, he was a presence. He just looked over at me and says, shrugged his shoulders, just so to work. Like, you hit it to work. And it was like my first epiphany in my life. Just clouds opened up, the light hit me. Every time I think about it, I get light on my feet.
What was mom's reaction though?
They just want me to be happy, to pursue something that I'm going to be happy with. They already instilled in me the work ethic and the discipline. That was covered. Whatever I was going to do, if I wanted to be a burlesque dancer, they would have supported it because they knew that the type of dude I was. And then they grew up around me. All I did was art. If it was raining outside, I was inside painting, drawing, sculpting, making things. My room, my bedroom was floor to ceiling, artwork, drawings. I had a drafting table in my room. They knew. So I think it was naturally he was going to be either an artist or an engineer.
Mi gente, when you get a chance, take it a step further after you listen. Help support Siempre Pa'lante by making a donation. This helps keep the lights on and, more importantly, brings you more cultural content and live events. Instead of buying that cafecito or fresh bagel, visit linktree.com/sp.alwaysforward. linktr.ee/sp.alwaysforward. Or go to the show notes for more info. Gracias. What you're doing with your art, which is very unique, and what I love about what you're doing with your art, you're highlighting and putting that gigantic spotlight on women of color. Where did that start? What drove you to really highlight that more in your work?
I have a profound respect for the, I don't know if the word is downtrodden or the outcast or the victim. I believe in fighting the good fight for those that are being wronged. I recognized as a kid, because my father told me to pay attention, that the real makers and shakers in my family unit, and even in my friends' family unit, neighborhoods I grew up in, that women really ran the show. Homage to my mom and to the strong women in the family unit, the necessary part of society, they bring everything to the table. And because I appreciate and love them so much, I celebrate them, you know, and I try to be positive about it. This is Albertus Joseph. You're listening to Siempre Pa'lante.
So what does legacy mean to you, and what is your legacy?
I would like to perpetuate how you can appreciate something, take the necessary steps to show that appreciation, and devote your life to something meaningful and maintain a high level of integrity. I don't think I'm always successful with all of that, but that's my goal. And if I could leave anybody with anything, and we're going to talk about art, though I think you can apply to anything. If you want to be a better artist, become a better person first and foremost. Work on the things that make you better, that add value to other people's experience. It is important for self-love, but that doesn't mean an over-glorification of who you are. It's like respect, not vanity. Move humbly. I've tried to be humble. There are times when I lose my patience. That's my shortcoming. I'm a work in progress. Hopefully I get there one day where I have absolute patience, but I lose my patience in that people don't value other people's time or effort, and they don't value their own. So it's hard for them to value other people's. time and effort. What my legacy would be is that I cared, I saw, I expressed what I saw, I created something from these experiences and these thoughts, and I touched on things that were important to me, not just as an artist, that's the tool, but as a person, as a living entity that inhabits the world on so many revolutions around the sun, that my experience here was appreciated, my presence here, that I appreciated it, that I appreciate the people around me and the lessons learned, the good times and the bad times. And that bad times really aren't as bad if you persevere. It makes the good times that much better.
Gracias, Albertus, for sharing your story. Your art is a blessing to the community. It's easy to see that it comes from el corazón. Your work truly reflects your life and spirit. Keep inspiring the masses, hermano. Te deseo lo mejor y más. Mi gente, don't forget to rate, review, follow, like, subscribe, and share. Remember, you can find the show via anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check the show notes to learn more about Albertus Joseph. A special Palante shout out goes to my editor, Santiago, guests, familia, and listeners. Gracias for your support. Next week, our guest will be artist, producer, and educator, Keith Salandi, a.k.a. K-Bang. Tune in and tell a friend. Hasta la próxima. Palante.